Hey, you want that to go?
And at the news takeout counter this Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. holiday morning, is Louise Story from our partner, the New York Times, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, sports contributor for The Takeaway.
Good morning
to both of you. And we begin with actually it's a dirty word among economists, stagflation. We have some indication that possibly, we may be having some trouble in the business community because inflation actually isn't pushing prices up, and that can be both a good thing and a bad thing.
So we've had a lot of different worries, John, this year. You know, inflation, deflation, what's happening? It's all very murky. The figures that came out on Friday, the inflation figures, showed that inflation was up 2.7% last year. And when you take out food and energy, which are sometimes taken out because, you know, energy can spike, it's 1.8%. So that paints, you know, very low inflation. But another way that people were cutting the numbers, and you can cut them a lot of different ways, is people were looking at the average of the index last year.
Right.
And when you average the index, it was 0.4% lower than the average of the index the year before, which hasn't happened since the 50s. So it's kind of murky.
And murky in the sense that inflation low inflation is good because prices stay low. But if businesses can't raise their prices, that means business activity is going to stay limp. And that's a sign of continuing recession.
Right. So what's happening is actually people are buying. You know, Christmas sales are up to some degree. But the prices people are paying are low. It's got to be a mega sale these days for anyone to buy anything. It's just got to be a mega sale. And so manufacturers have reacted to this by really cutting down their capacity because buying, you know, and prices are low. And so one of the fears is if consumer demand comes back and people are ready to buy, then there won't be enough manufacturing capacity ready to go to supply all the stuff. And so there will not be enough goods. And so therefore, prices might go up in that scenario.
Low supply, high demand, boom.
Prices. You know, remember the graph from economics?
I feel
economics.
Like I just had an economics lesson. But
yeah,
well,
it's
I
always, yeah, it's always true. Yeah. Just stick with Louise. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Louise.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is here. A little sports action. And Minnesota versus New Orleans, Saints and Vikings, Favre. The man from who grew up rooting for the Saints, right?
In the Bayou.
That's his team. This is going to be a great game.
Well, there's a lot of storylines in this one.
Yeah.
With the Cowboys losing to the Vikings, and let me just be clear.
Humiliated.
34-3 was the score. Most everyone thought that the Cowboys were the team to beat in this year's playoff. So their tectonic loss this weekend really shifted the balance a little bit, and it was mainly because Brett Favre. But that's not to take back away from the Vikings' number two defense in the league. So guys like Jared Allen coming off the end who are just abusing quarterbacks. And that's what I'm sort of gauging a little bit to as a predictor for what's going to happen with Drew Brees. Mind you,
the quarterback for the Saints.
Now, they've never had a game this big in New Orleans ever. So there is a Saints Nation. Right. There is a Saints. There's a lot of energy after
there's
Katrina.
There's kind of an America's team quality to the Saints.
So there's a lot of energy feeding into
this. But we all love Favre.
And we
do
love
especially
Favre.
Old guys like me.
So this is a classic game because he's the oldest quarterback ever at this point. So I'm going to go with the Saints in this one. Because I think, and I'm going to go with the Jets against the Colts. The reason why is because I think history is going to be, this is a little shift in history. And I think we're going to have Jets, Saints, and the Super Bowl for the
Jets
ages.
And Saints. Wow.
Every combo is good in this foursome.
Without a doubt.
Right?
The storylines have been all
even
over.
If it's Jets, Favre, Jets, Vikings, that would be good. You have the number one and the number two defenses
precisely.
Going up
that
against
the that would be a great one. Even if you have Peyton Manning going into where his dad, Archie, used to play, going against the Saints.
And that's what people have been saying since mid-season.
From
it's going to be Colts, Saints.
Precisely.
So that's
the
favorite.
So that is the favorite, but I'm not going to go with the favorite. I'm going to have the New York bias and go with the Jets against the Saints.
The Jets, Saints.
And the reason why the Saints and it's
Jets
not,
all the way is what you're saying. But that's just hometown stuff,
precisely.
Right?
But I'm saying but also the Vikings.
Delusional.
The Vikings because of their defense and not because of Brett Favre. Remember that.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. Well, were we recording when he was saying that?
I hope so.
Very good.
You're on the hook. Ibrahim
Abdul-Mateen.
Thank you, sir.
Sports contributor. Our last takeout is to mark Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which we're all doing here on The Takeaway, right? Mm-hmm. This weekend, our partner station, WNYC Radio, hosted a celebration for the holiday at the Brooklyn Museum in New York, and our own Celeste Headlee co-hosted the event. And this morning, we're bringing you some of the civil rights activists and educators that she spoke to.
My name is Patricia Williams. I am a professor of law at Columbia University Law School.
And I also write a column for The Nation magazine entitled Diary of a Mad Law Professor.
So as a professor, you obviously come in contact constantly with the next generation who are going to be graduating college and setting out on their own. And what do you tell them? What is the next great battle for civil rights?
Well, I think that the next battle of civil rights is going to be a technological one. It's going to be about DNA collection. It's going to be about surveillance and cameras. I think there's also going to be a push for the internationalization of the civil rights movement, as well as for the diversification of the civil rights movement, which includes not simply the old black-white model, but also the question of a variety of people of color, minorities, including religious and ethnic minorities, linguistic minorities. And I think also immigration rights are going, as the resources of the planet become more and more in question or limited, I think that our borders are going to be the frontier of the civil rights movement.
That was Professor Patricia Williams, a law professor at Columbia University Law School, talking to our co-host, Celeste Headlee.